The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Again, Jesus left the district of Tyre and went by the way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, into the district of the Decapolis. People brought to him a deaf man who had a speech impediment and begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him off by himself away from the crowd. Jesus put his fingers into the man's ear and with spittle touched his tongue. Then he looked up to heaven and groaned and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately the man's ears were opened and his speech impediment was removed and he spoke plainly. He ordered them not to tell anyone. But the more Jesus ordered them not to, the more they proclaimed it. They were exceedingly astonished, and they said, "He has done all things well. He made the deaf hear and the mute speak." The Gospel of the Lord. I'm not sure if I told you this story before about the fellow who went to his ear doctor and told him that he thought his wife was getting hard of hearing because she wasn't responding to him anymore. So the doctor said, "Well, there's an easy way to find out. When you go home, go to the farthest room in the house and call out to her. If she doesn't answer, go midway, call out again. And if she still doesn't hear you, then go right to the closest door where you can see her and say something again and see if she responds." So the guy said, "Okay, I will." He went home. He went to the farthest bedroom. His wife was in the kitchen. And he said, "What's for dinner?" Didn't hear anything. So he went midway and he said again, "What's for dinner?" He still didn't hear anything. So he went right to the door of the kitchen where his wife was cooking. He said, "What's for dinner?" And she turned around and said to him, "For the third time, fried chicken." I wonder if sometimes God feels that way about us. I mean, God's not the one who is hard of hearing when God doesn't seem to answer our prayers. Maybe we are. And we human beings have been hard of hearing when God speaks for a very long time. If you go way back to the time of Isaiah, in our first reading, he has some wonderful promises to the people who had just come back from exile, telling them, all of the blind will see, the deaf will hear, etc., etc. But the truth is that after the people listened to God for a while, they stopped and they became both deaf and dumb again to God right up to the time of Jesus. In the second reading, James also complains that his people aren't seeing, aren't hearing right. They do not see correctly because they prefer to serve the rich and the wealthy and not see the needs of the poor and the neglected. They do not hear God's word about preferring the poor. I wonder if the same is true of you and me. You probably don't remember, but on the day of your baptism and mine, the priest or the deacon touched our ears and said, "Ephphatha, be opened," and touched our lips and urged us to witness to the truth of God. "May your ears be open to listen to God's word," the priest or deacon said, "and your mouth be open to witness to your faith." But maybe we've grown hard of hearing and dumb to witness to our faith. It's not easy to believe in that blessing of our baptism, in which those same words were used as in the gospel, "Ephphatha, be opened." What can we do to help our eyes and our ears to be more open to God's presence in our lives? Basically, it's a matter of faith. It's a matter of really believing that God continues to live and to work and to act in our lives. We need to see and hear more with the eyes and the ears of faith. For instance, remember last year when those 12 boys and their coach in Thailand, who had been trapped in an underwater cave for more than 2 weeks, were rescued? They were rescued in a daring series of attempts. Divers compared it to mountain climbing, they said, but in tight, pitch-black spaces, buffeted by swirling floodwaters, towing a child. Each arduous trip, round trip, took between 9 and 11 hours. It took 90 of the best scuba divers in the world, involved more than 100 rescuers inside the cave, 1,000 members of the Thai Army, and almost 10,000 others who facilitated all kinds of assistance, from rides up to the cave site to meals for divers and volunteers and journalists. International experts set up rescue communications, while Thai villagers set up coffee stalls and massage stations. And later, one of the boys named Pong said, "Thank you, everyone from around the globe, for helping us." The Thai Navy SEALs wrote in a Facebook post, "We are not sure if this is a miracle, a science, or what." Some people might say it's a mixture of all three. But that's not what Isaiah was saying in our first reading. For him, such things are promises fulfilled. That's not what James was saying in the second reading. For him, those are challenges met. And that's not what Jesus was saying in today's gospel and showing. For him, bringing from death to life was what he does best, either by himself or through others. And maybe those are the key words, either by himself or through others. For Isaiah and for James and for Jesus, it's a matter of faith. In a few moments, you're going to see me hold up the host and the chalice and say the words, "This is my body, this is my blood." I believe you have faith enough to believe that this bread and wine will be changed into the presence of Jesus Christ, who will then come into each of our hearts in communion. He will nourish our faith, help open our ears and to hear again, help open our lips to give witness again to our faith, to believe that God and Jesus will walk with you and me again in our life. Are those empty promises? Isaiah didn't think so. Jesus didn't think so. James and the early apostles didn't think so. And certainly Isaiah didn't think so, because he summed it all up in a few words when he said, "Here is your God." Unless you're as hard of hearing as that guy in the story, you better believe it.